The Parables, Part 1, Mark chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. I have jumped a few verses here, because Christ, before he explains the parable, he tells the parable of the farmer who went out sowing the seed, but before he explains the meaning of it, he lays down some very, very important principles. It's recorded here in Mark chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. It's recorded in Matthew 13, verses 11 to 17, Luke 8, verse 10, and there's something similar in John chapter 12 as well. These are very important verses, and they lay out some very serious teaching. So, the parables, but it's part one, because there's too much here for one short discourse. What does Jesus say? Well, he says the secret of the kingdom, and he's talking about the kingdom, the secret of the kingdom, he says, has been given to you. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to believers. But to those on the outside, notice the description, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Mark chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. You see, the parables are not so simple as most people believe. Anybody understands the parables. Children can teach them. They're easy. They pull off a log. The number of headmasters and mistresses who use the parables as the subject for their school assemblies and so on. It's all so simple and clear. Quite wrong. They're missing the point of the parables, nearly always. And what's more, they miss the purpose of giving the parables. Well, Jesus explains it here. Now, let's come to it. The first thing he says is this. Understand that the parables are to do with the kingdom. Wow. The kingdom. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom. Now, that's floored most believers straight away. As for the unbeliever, they haven't a clue what the kingdom is. This is the most common teaching of Christ. He says more about the kingdom than anything else in his earthly ministry. Let me repeat that. He says more about the kingdom than anything else. I remember a lecture by Gordon Fee when he asked the students, the hearers, he says, now write down what you think is the most common word, the most important word, the most important subject in Christ's ministry. And of course people think this and that and the other, but actually it's kingdom. It's kingdom. But what is this kingdom? Well, I haven't got time in this short discourse to go into it, but the number of views amongst believers is legion. It's the realm of Christ. It's the rule of Christ. It's not easy to define. It's not simply the church. It's very difficult to specify the limits of the kingdom. I would describe it as the New Covenant Age. The realism of the New Covenant Age, the realm of the New Covenant, the whole spirit and an ambience of the kingdom. Although there are many views about it, and it gets mixed up with politics and all sorts of rubbish, my kingdom is not of this world. There's the kingdom of the world, ruled over by Satan, and there's the kingdom of Christ. We've been translated out of the realm of darkness and brought into the kingdom of Christ. We're children of the kingdom by regeneration. And it's kingdom teaching that the parables are about. We have to understand that principle. And the second thing that we're told here is, there are two sorts of men. And these parables have different effects on these two sorts of men. The two sorts of men. There are those who are people described as you on the inside. There are those who are on the outside. What are we talking about here again? This is a very brief discourse. I'm taking too long already. Two sorts of men, the spiritual and the carnal. The regenerate and the unregenerate. The believer and the unbeliever. The seeing and the blind. And this teaching is to do with division. These things are on the outside. Everything is said to them in parables so that they may be ever seeing, seeming to see, but they never do see, they never do perceive, they never do understand, they never do comprehend, they never do appreciate. They're ever hearing, they hear the gospel, whatever, but they never understand it, they never grasp it, they never feel it, they never sense it, there is no heart in it. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. He's talking about regeneration, you must be born again, and so on. This is the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. There is this division. Now, does the parable cause the division? Yes. But it's not the only thing caused. It's division because the division is there. The division is caused by God's decree, his electing decree, his work by his Spirit. This man is born again. This man is still in his sins. This man is alive unto God. This man is dead in his trespasses. This woman has been converted to Christ. This woman is an unbeliever. Which are you, my friend? Which are you? It is a mystery here. This is what Christ is saying. Look at John 3 again. It is a mystery. You know about the wind, you know about this, but you can't explain this, can you? You don't understand how it happens to you. No. How is a man born again? By the sovereign act of God's Spirit. God's electing decree in action. Have you been made to see, to understand, to feel, to trust, to love the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been given a heart, over a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, renewed within? You must be born again. And this is what Jesus is teaching here. You could be a PhD in theology. You can be a lecturer in theology. You can be going to church. Ah, well, I go to church. That doesn't mean you're regenerate. You can be a preacher. You can be a pastor. You can be a minister. You can be an elder. You can be a deacon. You can play the organ. You can arrange the flowers. You can play the guitar. You can run the coffee store. You can do this and that and the other. But you must be born again and turn to Christ and be forgiven, receiving him by faith. Like the man in John chapter 9, I can't answer all your questions, he said. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Let Richard Burnham have something to say to us. Lost in the ruins of the fall, I lay an awful night, till great Jehovah changed my heart and gave me heavenly light. Born of the Lord, I rose from sin, flew to the Prince of Peace. He loved the risings of my soul and showed a smiling face. Born of the Lord, I feel a power that draws to Jesus' blood, loosens my soul from chains of guilt and ties it fast to God. Born of the Lord, I can't allow that sin should rule my heart, but long that every evil thought might evermore depart. Born of the Lord, my happy soul, in flames of love arise, love my dear Father and his flock, and love his holy ways. Born of the Lord, I soon shall fly to his bright abode, rise to the honours of his throne, to live and reign with God. Are you born again, my friend? No life, no salvation without regeneration. You must be born again.